Hear me, or do I need to do something different? Okay, thank you so much. Hi. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you for your support and the opportunity for me to teach what I would learn, as the saying goes, and as everybody knows, not truer words were ever spoken. So as you get ready to teach one of these classes, and you're ready to you start looking at these things, and you realize you go through these doubt feelings of whether you're ready to teach or not. And but they are great teachers. So if you have the opportunity to teach, I would certainly suggest you do so. It's quite an experience. So again, thank you all very, very much for being here and for this opportunity. And actually, I was going to say a prayer. Thank you, Kathy. I was going to say a prayer, but my prayer is pretty much what my gratitude that I just expressed for the opportunity to teach and for the opportunity to hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching through me, even if it's just direction to look this up in this book and reread the lesson two or three times to have a certain comfort level so that I can share in my right mind. So for that, I'm truly grateful. I'm grateful to you all for being here, and I'm grateful for the this website. I'm grateful to the Holy Spirit. I'm just pretty grateful. All right. Let's get started. Okay, so last week we had just begun the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Philippians. I believe I said that correctly. So I would suggest that we start there and at the beginning of Philippians chapter 1, page 349. And it says, empty your mind now of all you thought was true. Accept the grace and the peace of God as your true inheritance. And as I said last week, the Holy Spirit is setting us up for forgiveness. Because forgiveness tells you that the world you see is untrue. So empty your mind now of all you thought was true. So empty your mind and accept the grace and the peace of God. You know, because the grace and the peace of God is what is true. And it's the only true part about it. And I remember being at the academy, and the master teacher said, the world's not true. The only thing that's true about the world is the love. That's the real part. The rest of it is a facade. And that's why this course over and over and over again tells us what forgiveness means. And even rereading this chapter tonight again and again and again, it just says what you're seeing is not true. And you're going to have to be able to believe that and accept that. In order to make any headway in your spiritual journey, in order to have any peace of mind, because only the love is real. And so That's why it's asking us to empty our mind of all that we thought was true and accept the grace and the peace of God as our true inheritance. Verse 3 through 11 says, I pray for you. I pray for you means I know who you are. And I know who I am. And I know what we are together. So if we know who the Holy Spirit is, he is the grace. He is the intelligence, the divine intelligence in our mind. And we're taught over and over again that we're one with that. So that must be who we are. So that's who we are together. I pray for you means I know we are not separate, but connected through God, which is mind and spirit. I pray for you means I recognize our oneness, and I recognize as I ask for you, I too shall receive. And why is that so? To give and receive are the same. And they'd have to be the same if we're one. Because you're only given to yourself. I pray for you is a statement of faith that all you see and sense and experience is not all there is. It is a statement of realization that effect is the result of intent, and intent can be affected by you. Okay, so the first part of that, when the Holy Spirit says, I pray for you as a statement of faith that all you see and sense and experience is not all there is. Once again, we're talking about forgiveness, because forgiveness is what you see in the world is not true. But what is true is the love and the peace and the grace of God. So once again, over and over again, we're saying this is a statement of faith, because right now we have to have faith that this is true, because our tendency is to believe that what we're seeing is true. And we're going to have to get serious with this, and maybe I'm preaching the choir here. Maybe I'm the one that needs to get serious with this and realize that what I'm seeing is not the truth of things. At least, at the very least, it's not everything that there is to see. That's what Holy Spirit has just told us. I pray for you as a statement of faith that all you see and sense and experience is not all there is. It is a statement of realization that effect is the result of intent, and intent can be affected by you. And how can that be affected by you? Well, there's two thought systems that we are drawing on, and those two thought systems, one's with the Holy Spirit and one's with the ego. And every time we have a thought, we're in one thought system or the other. And that's really what this chapter is asking us to do, is to look at what thought system we're in. So Holy Spirit says, there are no chains on the mind or spirit. Therefore, there is nothing to fear. Likewise, there are no limits. And that there are no limits is really, sometimes that's a hard concept for us too. It's a hard concept for me, and still is. It really still is, because you know what are the limits we're talking about? The limits to our love. There's no limits like time and space. I know I was reading one time about Jesus communicating to us beyond time. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that we have these ideas about time, and Jesus was 2,000 years ago. So he would have to be communicating to us outside of time if you believe in the concept of time. But there's all kinds of limitations I know a lot of you probably watched that movie, The Secrets, where the kid's bouncing the ball and the woman turns around and she turns back around just quick enough to kind of get a glimpse that there's all these basketballs. We pull that scenario down into one event. So who knows what's really happening in this universe? And we've just got our limitations set so that we can't see beyond our own thoughts. We can't see beyond our own limitations. So Holy Spirit says, there are no chains on mind or spirit. Therefore, there's nothing to fear. Likewise, there are no limits. You have been told that the world is not real, and you are the process of creation that is God. Now it is time to put the two together through practice.
Okay, good.
I have come to teach you that there are no limits on who you are. So, you know, the practice that Holy Spirit is obviously talking about here is, once again, the practice of forgiveness and not believing what we see physically manifested in our limited world, because there's so much more to it than we're seeing. It is not the action that is important. It is the motive. Motive determines all things. For motive is purpose, and purpose is everything. You receive according to the motive you put out. Motive is the determiner of all things, because motive is purpose. You shall see according to the purpose you put out. I had a friend that I talked to today, and she had a, I hope she doesn't mind me telling this story. She had an incident with her daughter, where she called her up and she told her daughter something about her mental capabilities, and said, you know, the doctor said that she was fine. And her daughter got mad at her and hung up on her. And then she had something, it was a little bit, or her son called, and her son said, you know, Mom, I'll never hear from you unless you're wanting something. And so she said that she called her daughter back and said, you know, I don't know what's going on. I love you. I'd like to be a part of your life, and give me a call back, and you know, let's forget all this silly stuff. And so she was saying, you know, we're kind of talking back and forth, and I don't know, maybe she's asking for advice, and I'm saying, you know, how great and how loving that is, and that's all we can really do. And so she's getting ready to hang up, and she says something like, so I don't know if she'll call me back. I don't know if my daughter will call me back or not. She said, you know, and she started talking about how she needed to protect herself, that she wasn't going to call her daughter. You know, if her daughter called her back, fine, but she wasn't going to call her daughter back and make herself vulnerable to her daughter's criticism. And then she said something similar to with her son, that she wasn't going to make herself vulnerable to that criticism. And I said, wait a minute, Barbara. Oops. I said, wait a minute, friend. you know, what we've done here is we've said, my purpose is love with my daughter. But then what's motivating our actions is not consistent with what we've declared that purpose to be. We've declared that purpose, right at the end of our conversation there, to be fear. So I was saying, you're not being consistent with your feelings here. And she said, well, what did I say wrong to them? Well, you didn't say anything wrong. But what is your motive for your plans, for how you plan to live your life here? You've just said, I'm not going to make myself vulnerable. I'm not going to expose myself because of my fear of what might be said. So I think that's what the Holy Spirit is talking about here. It says, you will receive according to the motive you put out. The motive is the determiner of all things. So we can say whatever we want to say, but what is our motive here? What is, you know, what is driving us? And I've just recently gone through the same scenario myself, and I think listening to Regina's class, you know, I caught myself. I mean, we have this tendency to want to be a little bit dishonest, and you know, who are we being dishonest with? We're not going to keep anything from the Holy Spirit, our higher, more divine, intelligent self. We're not going to keep anything from that. So, so I saw a friend of mine, and she was a little cool, and I thought, you know, I went through the same thing as my friend did. I just thought, well, you know, I miss her, but if that's the game we're playing, if she calls me up, I'll be loving and kind, but I'm not going to seek that out. I don't, you know, I don't need that. Well, you know, the being loving and kind is not consistent with, I'm not going to seek that out. So, you know, if you're taking the higher road, the higher, if you're taking that higher road, you can't fall back onto the lower road and try and connect the two. Yes, we're looking beyond error, and that's what the forgiveness is. The forgiveness, and I think I read that to you all last week, where it said, where I found this definition of forgiveness, and it said, forgiveness doesn't perceive specifics and treat them as whole units in and of themselves. That closes the mind to healing. So you see, what me and my friend were both doing was closing our mind to healing, because we said, oh, you know, we're gonna protect ourselves. We fall into this fear mode. And we're not consistent with what we're saying that we are. We're saying that we are loving individuals. I love my friend, and Barbara loves her daughter and her son, but our motives were not consistent. Yes, exactly, Jacqueline. That's what I was looking for, taking the higher vibrational choice. Exactly. So, so when we take that higher vibrational choice, and then something something's not right in our choices, something's not consistent in our choices, then that's when we need to look at it. So what's off? What's off here? Something's off because I'm saying I'm this loving, kind, magnificent person, but it's not, there's an inconsistency here. So we'll continue on the top of page 350. Therefore, you must ask, what is my purpose? So what is our purpose? Our purpose, as being said over and over again in this chapter, is forgiveness. Of course, and forgiveness is on that same side of the page with my purpose is to be truly happy. My purpose is to be the love that I am. All those are my purpose is to take the higher vibrational choice. My purpose is to look beyond the error. My purpose is to step through the fear. My purpose is my awakening. They're all synonymous. Therefore, you must ask, what is my purpose? For you do not know your motive. For if you do not know your motive, then you do not know what you will receive. But when you know your motive, and you know it has been chosen purposely by you, you can trust that you do know, for you know that you will receive according to your motive as you have put out. Yeah, so if the mind is, if the world is really a reflection of our mind, which I promise you it is, then it can't be any other way. Then you're going to receive according to what's going on in your mind. And what's really going on in your mind is not, I'm a great, magnificent person. It's, and I'm also fearful and don't want to expose myself and make myself vulnerable or in any way. What's really going on there is I'm fearful. I mean, that's what's going to be reflected in your world. For you will know that you will receive according to your motive you have put out. Faith is by no means dead. We're on page 350, verses 27 through 30 now. Faith is by no means dead. For you have put your faith in whatever you believe. And of course, faith is what you believe. Faith is not as strong a word as clarity. Like, if I believe something and I have clarity of mind, if I have clarity with the Holy Spirit, that's a little bit stronger than faith, because faith, there's still not the clarity. So, we're asked to look at that. That which you believe, is that what you believe, that which you have chosen, based on the foundation of your motive? So that's what my little stories were about. My motive, what was my motive? My motive was to protect Connie, to protect her from getting her feelings hurt or exposing herself, make herself vulnerable. That was my real motive. You know, I love you, but I'm not going to make myself vulnerable. So Holy Spirit here is asking if this is consistent here. Is that which you believe, that which you have chosen, based on your foundation of your motive? Are they consistent? Do you have a foundation without a building? And a building without a foundation? Yeah, so my foundation is my foundation with the ego or with the Holy Spirit? You know, the ego is just false ideas about ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is that higher vibrational choice. So have I slipped into the ego's domain and candy coating it with, you know, I'm this loving person, but I don't want to make myself vulnerable. I don't want to, I'm not going to step through that fear. I'm going to protect myself. I love you too. So paragraph 6 says, if your faith is split off from your motive, this is surely what you will have. To receive according to your motive, your building and your foundation must be one. They have to be consistent. Put your faith with your motive in all things. Make sure they're consistent. What is your motive? What's it for? There's some teachers out there that in order to keep us in our right mind are saying everything that we do, say, what's this for? You know, is this an expression of love? And is everything I'm doing consistent with that? Put your faith with your motive in all things. For your motive is not the motive that you put out. For through faith, your motive is delivered. Motive without faith is dead. Motive without belief is not going to work. Motive without consistency isn't going to work. Okay, so we're ready for Philippians chapter 2, page 350 at the bottom of the page, verses 1 through 4. The way you operate in the world is a reflection of your faith and your belief. Yeah, of course it is. For the way you operate is not action, but the image of the expression of thought. This makes me think of Regina's, and I won't get this right, I'm sure. You know, if you think it, you believe it, and that's what you'll experience it. Trust that you do not know yourself, because you have not observed that closely until now. So, Holy Spirit is talking to Regina, but she's writing this book. And so this may or may not be true for you, but realize that we have to observe ourselves on a continual basis. Can't let those things slide through like the fear thought. There it is, Kathy. What I think I see, what I see I experience, and what I experience I think. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So what we're being called to here is to be consistent of mind and to mind watch what we're saying, the loop. Yes, exactly. So Holy Spirit says, realize that your purpose is to ensure that your faith is placed with the motive you have chosen. So, that your faith and your beliefs are consistent, and you don't have that inconsistency going on, because when you do, then you're not going to get the reflection that you hope you are. Be clear on this purpose, and then observe yourself. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. So let me just read on then. It says, what is it that you find yourself doing? Why are you doing it? Is that action evidence that your faith is placed with your motive? Or are you feeling that you have placed your faith elsewhere? So in my story, my faith was placed in my fear, my beliefs about what's going on was placed in my fear, and I was calling it something else. And why do we do this? Because we're protecting who we think we are. Like Connie, something that needs protecting. You know, this personality is something that needs protecting. You know, when you're in a situation with a person, yeah, I need to be cautious. When you're in the situation with a person, at least on my part, you know, I find myself doing that all the time. How is this going to be perceived? Well, you know, it's about time that I give that up, to step through that, because you know, you want to be perceived as this loving, caring, giving person, and you think you may even think yourself that. You know, that's who I am. You know, you won't find a kinder, more loving person than Connie Poole. And but what motivates me to that? If it's not just giving out of the kindness of my heart, or just that expansion, because we do give out expansion, out of expansion, because that's who we are. But if we fall down into to the motivator of fear or caution, then we're not being who we say we are. We don't have our faith where we say it is. We don't have our beliefs where we say they are. There's an inconsistency. We've taken the lower vibrational choice. Holy Spirit says, be careful that you do not judge that which you see and observe. Separate yourself from the body. See the body as not you. See it merely as evidence of thought that is in the mind. See it as a learning device and nothing else. Okay, so that's what we've been talking about. If we're observing what we're doing, for mind watching with the Holy Spirit all the time, then we can do this. Then we can not judge that what we're seeing, but we can use that as the learning device. You know, in the Course of Miracles, it says, you know, that all the body is a learning device. Well, it's a learning device for us via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses what we have, our facilities, faculties, and teaches via that. So this is exactly what's being said here. See the body as a learning device and nothing else. Watch your mind with the Holy Spirit all the time, and watch for those inconsistencies. You'll know when something's off. You'll feel it. You know, I'm so full of love here, but all of a sudden, you know, where did that come from? I'm not gonna call her until she calls me. I'm not, you know. So Holy Spirit goes on to say, when you look at the body, really talking about the character who Connie Poole thinks she is, when you look at the body, which is showing you what you have asked to see, what is it that you discover? What do you learn about your mind? You know, Jacqueline, my baby sister Jacqueline, all of you know her, I know, talked about an experiment that she did one time when she was trying to write down, and I don't know how you do this, but she was trying to write down everything that she was thinking. And then she'd take those thoughts and she'd categorize them. And she found that her thoughts were, most of her thoughts were fear-based. You know, thoughts come up about worthiness and thought unworthiness, and thoughts come up about abandonment and we don't have to be afraid of these things. It just says, what do you learn about your mind? You know, when sometimes hindsight's the only way you can do this, because you'll be in a scenario, you know, worrying, concerned. Exactly, Kathy. you'll be in a scenario, and all of a sudden, you hear yourself candy coating things. I'm sorry, folks. Maybe you don't hear yourself candy coating things. I hear myself candy coating things. They're just a little sweeter than what they actually are. And it is exhausting. It is very exhausting. So you find yourself candy coating these things, and then, you know, later when you're at home in bed in the evening, you're thinking about that conversation you had, and you realize that what you were doing was really defending this character. Yeah, you're lying to yourself. You're defending a character. You're defending something that's not true. Because you want somebody to feel that you're worthy of their love and affection. And what's really bizarre about the whole thing is everybody knows anyway. They really know who you are. So, I mean, there's, you know, we can play all the little games, but you don't even know it. And that's what this, all this is asking us to do, is stop hiding from this. Stop lying to myself, as Kathy says. Stop hiding from this and start watching what your mind is doing. So if you're not feeling the expanse of love, which is the truth of you are, of who you are, then you won't be in your right mind, and you'll be protecting yourself. You'll have thoughts of unworthiness, and you got all this stuff going on. And until we start dropping these things, we're just in a downward spiral, and not going to make any. I mean, enlightenment is only knowing the truth about yourself. So we got to stop lying to ourselves and get on the other side of that. We got to get on the other side of the facade that we seem to be projecting out to the world before we can make any headways towards the enlightenment. Enlightenment is a moment-by-moment situation. So, you know, if in this moment I'm trying to build myself up or protect myself or make myself feel worthy of somebody's love and affection, then in that moment I can't be enlightened. there's a certain amount of exposure that you have to have and get beyond that before we can be looking at what we all seem to be craving, and that is the enlightenment. That is, but they're one and the same. When I get beyond that, then that is the enlightenment. All right, I better read on here. Okay. Realize now who you are as you watch this body and learn from it. Yeah, don't condemn yourself, just learn from it. Realize that you did not know, and so you lived in ignorance before. Yeah, we can let all that go now, it was just ignorance. But now you do know, and it is your will to correct the ignorance you lived by before. This is enlightenment, folks. Yeah. So, and it's also, it's once again, it's the forgiveness. It's not forgiveness doesn't perceive specifics and treat them as whole units in and of themselves. So it's not taking the scenario and seeing myself as a sinner It's just learning from this so I can move beyond this and know my true self, know who I really am. Be grateful for this body and all it is teaching you. For in partnership with this learning device, you will correct the mind. You will bring faith into alignment with motive through your own desire to do so. I have some notes here in the margin. It says, recognize when you do not feel a constant, consistent, stable state of peace. Do you prefer to minimize the demons, manage the neurosis, and persist in a general state of unhappiness? So if we're not examining our every thought, we slide down into that managing our neurosis, minimizing our demons. And we stay in a general state of unhappiness. And it's right there. It's just on the other side of this. When we can stop protecting this ego. Now, I remember reading somewhere in the course, and I don't know if it said it or whether I had an epiphany, and I guess it matters, but every statement we make is a statement of identity. Everything that comes out of our mouth says who we think we are. Which is which has a potential for, I mean, once we come to that realization, then everything can flip. We can be in our right mind all the time because that's where we want to be, and we realize that there's nothing to defend anymore. Verses 14 through 18 says, do not be personal with the body as you watch it and observe it. Yeah, don't take it personally. We're moving on here. We're leaving that behind. Do not feel that you are looking at you. I tell you, the body that you observe is not you. This character, I tell you that the character that you're observing is not you. It is merely an expression of your thought. You are in the process of creation that is God. You are mind and spirit that is not of this world. Separate yourself from the body in order to observe it. Observe it in order to learn that, in order to learn what you want to learn about yourself. Yeah, so don't take it personally. Just let it show you what you've been doing. You know, what have I been doing for the last 60 years? Oh my gosh, let me move beyond this. Let me stop defending this. What's there to defend? It's not true anyway. When you observe the body with the purpose of learning, you do not observe alone. The one who knows you and teaches you observes with you so you may learn. Of course, that one is the Holy Spirit or your right mind or your divine mind. Call on this one and ask him your questions. He will lead you to find answers, for his purpose is the same as yours. Of course, that's many are getting that in Regina's class now, and when they're writing in Holy Spirit, and that's just miraculous as far as I'm concerned. Cheryl's saying that is important. Separate yourself from the body in order to observe it. Yeah. So, and it does describe true alignment. And as long as we're protecting that character that we've been for the last how many ever years, as long as we're protecting that, we haven't separated ourselves from the body. So what it's really asking us to do is step back and disidentify from the false character. Release the mind to its natural state. The natural state, of course, is that abstract state of freedom. It's that stable state of peace and joy. That's what's available when we're not misidentified and protecting this false, unreal, illusionary self. It says, honor yourself as you observe. Keep your purpose clear in mind. If you notice judgment or guilt because of the evidence you find, know you have lost perspective in the learning. Yeah. So if you're watching these things come up, and sometimes we're going to catch them in the evening as we review our day, but this I think is calling us to be a little bit more present. I know my sister Debbie, I used to, years ago, I don't know if she still does this or not, but she go back and relive her whole day. What did they say and what did I say? And you know, one time I thought, oh, that's awful, but really, that's what we're being called to do. But we're being called to do that in the moment if it's possible. So you can, if we listen, we can hear it. And Holy Spirit says, take a break and rest in quiet. Recalling your purpose in mind. Of course, our purpose in mind is forgiveness. It's knowing that the world we're seeing is not a true reflection of what's really going on. That all that's really going on is a love that's in our heart, the love that's being extended, and it's nowhere. We have little glimpses of it, but it's not really being reflected in in the whole here. So for us to get, for us to know that wholeness, then we have to be consistent with it. That's what this chapter is asking us to do. It says, when you feel clear, return again in joy. So when you're consistent, when your motive is consistent with what you're saying and what you're thinking, return again in joy, for the work you do is the care of your mind and your own healing. And your actions reflect that. Yes. Yes. So all that will be consistent. Our actions, our thoughts. And we have some bizarre thoughts that seem to drop in from nowhere. And we can discern whether they're consistent with our motive of being the love that we are, whether they're taking the higher alignment. Yes, you can say, I simply made a mistaken identity with the body. Our practice is helping us with a correction. Exactly. But I think what's being called for here is the mind watching. Is watching for those inconsistencies. And when they're and to not be afraid of that, to just drop it. When you say, I was about to say something that kind of candy coats things so you'll have a better perspective of me, or I was really I'll protect myself because I don't want anybody to take advantage of me. You know, look at that false identity that you have made and be willing to give that up. Be willing to, because until we start giving that up, we don't really have a chance at the whole enlightenment thing. All right. That was fun. Thank you all very much. Thanks for allowing me to teach. And observe it like it's a movie. Detach from the fantasy. Exactly. Observe it like it's a movie. Yeah. That's great, Cheryl. I appreciate you saying that. I love you all, and I guess I'll be giving it back to you, Cheryl. Thank you, Kathy. And we'll be listening to Jacqueline tonight, so that's worth doing. All right. Thank you, everybody. Good night, good night.